don't like living in a dirty town. Don't like living in a dirty town. I don't like living in a dirty town, 'cause a dirty town gets me down. Saved up and I bought some land, 'cause I can't stand living in a dirty town. Yeah, I pinch my pennies and I put them down, and I wash my hands of a dirty town. Plant my seed in the ground, yeah, I put them down in my new family, 'cause you can't plant seeds in a dirty town. No, you can't plant seeds in a dirty town. I chop in firewood, chop. Just like a country boy should be chopping wood. I come true. My chimney sticks are the perfect little
chimney stick.
Get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town. Well, everybody now.
Get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town.
All I need is a chicken wire and a chicken feed. And all I see is a newfound man fertility. Yeah. My lady friend, though she don't need to listen. She country. She cracks the cracker down with that cracking whip. We having fun just making little children chit-chat.
Get gone from a dirty town, get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town, get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town, get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town, get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town, get gone from a dirty town. From a dirty town.
Government, oh, he ain't made of cement. He comes true. We get along, so we get up the pants. Now I've got three. My bank account is a shoe box in the grand hand.
Get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town.
Get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town. Get gone from a dirty town.
All right, I am at the Bowery in the bathroom. I don't want to talk too loud because that's creepy and weird. I came to see Mother and fucking New York, man. It's way too big. I got here just as they were finishing their last song. So I got to hear 20 seconds of Oh My Heart. That's too bad. Usually you can't get to shows too late. You know, you get here early and you just end up waiting around forever, and I don't think I've ever been late enough to a show to actually miss the band. And it's only 9:45, doors were 8. No, I mean, I meant to get here at 9, so that's too bad. The other band is Sam Roberts. I don't even really give a shit about Sam Roberts, but he has one song that I like. It's called Brother Down. I think it was his first single, actually. So I'm going to try to record that, because I also had the clever idea. I could just put the Zoom in my pocket and record the show, so. No mother for me, that's too bad, but it's still nice to get out of the house, you know? Come out and see a band and all. So sure, I paid $15 and didn't get to see mother, but at least I got to actually give mother some money, because I mean, I stole both their albums. I've never paid for a mother thing in my life. And I just bought a t-shirt. So, at least I got to support mother some. I'll see him someday. We'll be right back. I left a little early. Sam Roberts is still playing, but that's all right. So I just I met the lead singer, songwriter, and the bass player of Mother Mother. And I kind of lied a little bit. I told them I saw them back in Fredericton, which isn't true. My friend Brad saw them back in Fredericton twice, actually. But it's nice because I got all the lies that I need. You know, the bass guy was like, cool, where'd you see me? And I was, so where'd you see us? And I was like, Bugaboo Capital. Because it's really, that's the only two places. I actually think the Bugaboo's closed. And I couldn't remember exactly where Brad saw them. And he's like, Capital. Yeah, that's where we played. Back in the day, you know, I seemed super hardcore because all these fucking New York hipster dudes were sort of, and chicks, were sort of circled around them. Please, I, by proxy, by fake lies, through my friend Brad, knew of them, at least, back in the day. But that was just really cool. I got to tell them that I really liked them, and that that being here and seeing them and stuff kind of reminded me of home, which is not technically totally true. It reminded me of their album, which I did hear when I was back home. So that is a shame that I got here too late. I meant to, doors were at 8, right? So I meant to leave the house at 8. I thought I'd get here by 9. That should have worked out fine. But I just remember, I don't know, I left the house a little bit after 8, and then I got to take a fucking bus to the goddamn F train. So I checked my phone, and it's like 8:44 before I'm even getting on the F train, and it's another hour to get downtown here. Fuck me, right? Fucking New York. Oh, what a terrible ride on the train, too. So just crowded and awful. And just oppressive. Made me remember that I hate New York. But, man, I already knew this. It's like I'm telling myself things I figured out 10 months ago or more. I need to get out more often. I need to, I went to see Saul Williams with Matt Bray. I don't know, like 2 months after I moved here? I mean, I was down in the dumps pretty much right away in fucking New York. And, and I just remember it made me feel so much better. And I was like, I gotta do this more. But it's kind of hard to find bands I really want to see, you know? And it's always more fun when you know the songs. Saul Williams was a perfect one. I knew everything, man. I knew he played a little snippet of Twice the first time. And I don't know if anybody in the fucking room knew that shit. Oh, somebody did. I'm not so goddamn elite. But that's an old-ass song, man, from like 97. Only available on vinyl, heard it on college radio. But in this case, I got here too late to see All of Mother Mother. I just got to see Sam Roberts, who's pretty popular in Canada. But like I said, when I was in the bathroom, Brother Down's the only song he ever had that I really liked. But even just not really knowing these songs, it's still just fun. It's just fun to come out to a band. It's almost kind of fun. More fun on your own. I don't know. I came to see stuff with Ian, and I don't know. Then you're always kind of focused on the other person. It is a little bit nice just to be on your own. And, however, I don't know. I got Brother Down on recorded. I hope it turned out all right. And I just left right after that. It's like, that's good. I'm good. That's the fucking pinnacle. I'll get to that, though. Maybe I should play some Mother Mother. I mean, I didn't get to record them live like I meant to. I must have freaked him out a little bit. A dude from Fredericton. Nice Canadian in the crowd. I should have recorded that. I don't know. I didn't record it just because at first it's creepy and I knew I was going to lie to him and tell him I saw them before just because I knew I could get away with a lie and whatever. But I didn't think I'd immediately turn on my recorder and admit it. But I mean, why wouldn't I think that? What don't I admit? That's the whole point of this show. Alright, let's dig up some Mother Mother Live. Not from this particular night, but it's out there. They're starting to get a little more popular. You look around, you can find some Mother Mother shit out there. Some live shit. Some sessions. Let's play some of that. I got a mermaid looking right.
when we sail. You're gonna see us on a red ship sailing. We'll think of you on your solid ground. We hope you think of us out here sailing around. Sailing around. Sailing around. Sailing. Polynesia. Polynesia, Polynesia. Oceana on the Caledonia. We drop the hook on the Capricorn. Remember when we said you're gonna see us with a sailor tan. We'll think of you and your star white hands. Building your motherships, wishing you were sailing around.
So it looks like this Zoom recorder is going to be mine, which is cool because since my camera broke, I got nothing to talk into. And this thing does sound awful nice, but again, it's kind of like wet outside. It's too bad because this thing was expensive. It's like $400. I can't just fuck with it. My eBay plan worked terribly, man, terribly. eBay fucking auctions go crazy. They start at $10 and by the end they're at $81. So I'm going to get myself a cheap camera, because there's all kinds of these old cameras. Like, I don't think the philosophy is wrong. There's all kinds of old, outmodeled cameras just fucking filling up the world. But eBay might not be the place. Anyway, yeah. I've been kind of a mess lately. When I first split with Ian, it was like kind of, in some capacity, sort of a relief, you know? Like, things were really just wrong, and there's no sense denying it anymore. But it did lead to regret. To the point where, like, Keith invited me on the show the other day, and I just couldn't do it. I was just afraid I would just say mean things I would regret, or just, like, not be able to... I don't know, I need more perspective on this. And I'm... As much as I love being on their show, and I appreciate that they have me on, I just don't need that shit sometimes. I don't need the fucking stupid internet with their fucking retarded opinions and their, you know. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that you get a taste of my life, that you get an inside view. And they don't fucking look at it that way. It's like, hey, if it's fucking, if you talk about it, if you have a fight with Ian on the air, well, that means we're allowed to say whatever we want about anything. Well, go fuck yourselves. You're a bunch of fucking retards. Anyway, yeah, I've been down in the dumps because even though this breakup is kind of what needed to happen, now I don't have a girlfriend, you know? I'm on my own, and I'm tired of being on my own. I've been on my own plenty. I know I can make it on my own. That's not valuable to me anymore. What's valuable is to be with someone and to learn how that works, you know? That's how I justify the idea that I stayed with Ian when maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe neither of us should have this long. That it's more valuable for me to try to work through these problems than to just give up. And it's just harder for me to meet people than it is to stay with someone I'm already with. I'd way rather try to fix things than try to move on to someone else. That's much more difficult for me. But yeah, I really hit this point where it's just like, I'd like wake up and within the first hour of the day, just like cycle through the whole rainbow of emotions. It was fucking ridiculous. Like, my head just wasn't on straight. Or I'd really easily get upset about things, like things that I shouldn't be upset about anymore, things I should be over with, slights that happened a long time ago. Suddenly these things are all just kind of back in my head and fucking pissing me off. You know, I need to get my shit back together. So at this show, I'm watching Sam Roberts. I really only wanted to see Mother Mother. See, that's one reason why I didn't worry so much about being late, is I just was in no mood to just sit around and wait. I fucking hate getting to a place and just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for a band, and I'm only there by myself and I'm not hanging out with anyone and it's nobody to talk to, and it's just... So I kind of just wanted to, like, if I could just go see Mother Mother and then fucking go the fuck home, that's what I would do. But unfortunately, that laziness led to me missing my mother entirely. I'm at the F train, but holy shit, I just don't want to go back down underground. Ugh. You know, even though it's a longer ride home, I think I'm going to go back to the JMZ, which is right by the Bowery, because at least it's above ground. That makes a big difference. Although there's a 24-hour McDonald's here, and I'm a little hungry. I kind of need to piss. So let's just walk randomly. Let's walk around a block, see where I go. This is trickier because I'm worried about getting this thing wet, so I've just got it, like, huddled inside my sleeve. That's so cool. I'm just glad I got to meet those mother guys, or at least two of them. And, I don't know, just tell them that I like them. It's just good. I'm glad I got to do that. So I'm at this Sam Roberts show, and I'm just, I don't know, I don't really know that much Sam Roberts. I can never really get into him. So he could be anybody, you know, just whatever band. And I had, like, this kind of barrier that needed to get broken down of just kind of not giving a fuck about what was going on. I did get in cheaper. That's cool. See, I did get here late, but there's a guy out front trying to get rid of his ticket. So I got the ticket for $15 instead of the 20 it would have been. So I don't know. That was neat. But yeah, at first, I don't know, just the way too loudness, you know, like just the band's playing way too loud for the size of the venue. That just seems so, you know, like I'm tired of that shit. And the light show, you know, man, that shit hasn't changed ever. You go watch some Martha Hoople fucking 1970s shit and you'll see the same red light and the same stroby shit. And it's like, come on, this is fucking weak sauce. At first, I was not impressed at all. And then where my thoughts went were that it was really packed. There's a lot of people, which is weird. I don't know how they know Sam Roberts. They knew quite a few of his songs. When he did eventually play Brother Down, thank God he did. I was kind of worried he wouldn't. People went mental. Like, everybody knows that's the best song. But being lost in this crowd, you know, you're just in the crowd, it really brought me back to my early 20s. I used to go to all kinds of punk shows. The more hardcore, the better. And it was a similar feeling. But it's like you're lost in the crowd, everything's super loud, you're probably drunk. And it didn't matter what band was playing. That's one nice thing about the super conservatism of hardcore punk, is you can always expect the songs to be the same basic structure. You know, they're built for a mosh pit, that's what they're for. The bands are kind of interchangeable, and that's kind of the value of them, is to just, they're just there so you can fucking go crazy. They're there so you can get in a mosh pit and just fucking just laugh out loud and no one can hear you and just fucking flail around and jump and push and shove and get fucking hit and punched and kicked and knocked down and bruised. I was never cut, but I did get my nose smashed in once or twice. Bad enough to fucking pour blood everywhere. And lots of bruises. Bruises so bad I could fucking, like, couldn't sleep at night. Or if I turned the wrong way in my sleep, it would wake me up. It hurt so bad. Or I could barely stand up. Like, if I kneeled down and I tried to get back to my feet, it was, like, hard. But I loved that shit. I fucking loved it because I never got to experience that stuff. I never played sports. I never got to find out that I'm tough. I'm fucking tough. Everybody is. Everybody can take a lot of fucking shit that they don't know they can take if they're just a fucking TV watching fucking, you know, potato just doing nothing.
Yeah.
man, it was just a fucking valuable time. I really think I really only was in that scene in my hometown for like a year. But it was enough to get me out of there, to get me to move to Vancouver. And Vancouver was hard. I had to look out for myself. I had to worry about not having enough money. I mean, like, I got jobs just because I had to have a job. Because if I didn't get a job, I wasn't going to have a fucking house. And there was a lot of really hard shit to that. But looking back, like, that's the most proud I've ever been of myself. I'm just walking down some random street. I think it's, like, Chinatown I'm getting into in Manhattan. But garbage everywhere. Fucking piles of garbage. Just saw a big-ass rat run across the sidewalk, because New York is a fucking scum hole. New York, I hate you, and you're bringing me down. So yeah, looking back, I mean, I had some tough times in Vancouver, but I was never so proud of myself as I was in that time when I look back. I even remember when I first moved back to my hometown, and I was so reticent to do it. I didn't want to. I was afraid, you know, I would just fall back into the easy embrace of my hometown, where for like 5 years after high school, I just fucked around there, and it was like, whatever, hometown, everything's easy. Got parents, got friends, can just stagnate. I was afraid that would happen again, and I remember, like, my mom kind of had to convince me to stay at their place in their spare room, and I really didn't want to do it. I actually remember arguing with her, because it's like, I can't do this. I can't go back to not paying my own way and not paying rent and not looking after myself. And I did agree to for a little while, but then I moved in with my cousin Dan and babysat my niece Allie. And at that point, I really did have to borrow some money just to pay our rent there. I didn't have a job, but I felt like that was okay because my job was to look after this kid. You know, I felt like that was worth it. That was life school. And that's kind of what I tried to convince myself about, because after that I went back to Vancouver and it didn't work out as well, but I tried to convince myself about that with New York, that, yeah, I'm in New York and I don't have a work visa and I can't get a job, so I'm going to borrow some money from my parents. I mean, I came out here with like $6,000, that lasted for a while, but it's gone now. And the only reason I'm still here is because of my parents and their good graces, and they've kind of fucking put a lot of money into this little trip. And it's easy to pretend that it had to be like that, but this isn't what I intended. When I first moved here, I had a lot more balls. It was like, you remember Jane in Firefly says, anybody who can't find a job isn't looking hard enough? You know, that was my plan. It was like, I don't know, get clown jobs under the table. Do travel logs on YouTube, like, enough to convince people to donate to me. Or just like, whatever, whatever. I'll find a way to pay for New York. And I didn't do that. Instead, I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to take the money from my parents. I'm just going to be a big lazy slob. And I thought I would use this time to finish writing books and to whatever, you know, to enrich my life. And I didn't enough. Somewhat I did. I mean, I made some DVDs. I've done some cool shit out here, but not enough. Not to justify this. And I really think that's part of what got me down in the dumps. Because thinking of that in general, combined with being at this show that was not a hardcore show, that's just whatever, generic rock, it really got me down, because I was thinking about, you know, how much more proud I used to be of myself, how much more able I used to feel, and then also thinking of the old punk shows I used to go to, and how even just to watch a band I used to feel so much more empowered and strong. Instead of just sitting here with these head-nodding fucking New York goddamn trendy fucking faggots, you know? Like, what the fuck? And instead of how at the old punk shows when I used to just laugh, huge grin on my face, just so in love with my life. I remember one time I, like, got knocked on my back in the middle of a pit, and instead of getting my fucking ass up, I just laid there laughing, and people yanked me up, and thinking back, I'm like, God damn, I'm so lucky that somebody didn't just step on my face and just bust my teeth out, you know? You can't just lay there on the fucking floor. But I was so much more proud of myself. And instead, at this Sam Roberts show, thinking about all of the problems in my life right now and that I didn't make things work with Ian and just how kind of stagnant I've been this whole 2 years, I started crying. Not bad, but I don't know, a tear or two. Because it's the same thing. It's like you're in this crowd, this super loud, dark room, tons of people, everything is... No one pays attention to you. You're lost in the crowd. But instead of it being a catharsis, instead of it being a release, and just like the fucking primal jungle punk rock shit, instead it's just a tear running down my face and no one notices. And it's like, how the fuck? How the fuck did I let myself get here? How did I turn into a fucking emo bitch? How the fuck did this happen? As just... I really feel like this was like therapy. I think this really helped shake me out of that bullshit. And I really have to remember that if I get too far into this hole, I gotta leave the house. I gotta go out. I gotta find a band. I gotta go somewhere. I gotta do something. Even just the idea of going back to my hometown, it's like, oh, what am I gonna do there? Wah, wah, wah. But if I just, me and Brad go see a show, you know, go see a band, have a fucking beer, I'll feel better. I had to get myself out of the house. It was harder with punk because once I got a little older, it's like, that's a young man's game. Even though I was only in my early 20s, in a way, I almost felt too old for that shit. Now that I'm in my late 20s, I really feel like I wouldn't fit in. But even if it is just a fucking rock band at a pub, and I'm not physically flailing around, I'm just there to listen. My dad does that. My dad goes all the time. Goes, has a beer or two. Watches a band, and it's just good. It just makes you feel better. And I just can't fucking believe what a piece of fucking shit I've turned into. It's ridiculous. I used to be so much fucking stronger than this. I fucking moved to Vancouver all by myself, with nobody. I tried to get friends to move. Nobody would fucking come with me. One by one, they all just dropped out, and I was like, I don't fucking give a shit. I'm not staying in this goddamn town and doing nothing with my life. I'm fucking moving. I'll move across the fucking country. I'll move 2,000 goddamn miles where I don't know anybody. And I fucking did it. And I had all kinds of fucking terrible hard days and jobs that I hated and just like misery. But why is it that when I look back on that part of my life, that's where I was the most proud of myself? How come I have no memories of the 5 years I got out of high school? Like after high school, just like nothing, almost nothing. All those years in my hometown. 2.5 years in Vancouver, I've got enough memories to fill a fucking lifetime. All kinds of shit that happened to me. Because I was fucking proud of myself is the difference. And here in New York, I have not been proud of myself. This city fucking pushed me down so easy. I mean, I admit it. It's too big for me. Instead of blaming the city, I can just blame myself. Blame's the wrong word, but... I'm just not cut out for this place. This is not for me. This is for people that are fucked in the head. This is for if you're crazy. And you just are nuts enough that you want to try to push to the top of the heap. This is the biggest heap. Have fucking fun. But if you ask me, fucking Keith and the girls, the only thing this goddamn town's got to be proud of. So, the point is, in this hour or so of just standing and watching Sam Roberts play songs that I didn't know, I managed to go from so sad that I was literally crying. Like, I haven't actually bothered to shave since Ian and I broke up, so I could taste salt in my little mustache that I've got going. From the tears on my face, and it's like, fuck you. Fuck you. That is fucking ridiculous. This is all you fucking have. You have one goddamn life. You don't have time to be this fucking sad sack piece of shit. And I managed to work through this stuff in my head and just fucking remember who I used to be. I know it's a sad sap emo song, but that fucking, that Incubus song, Dig, couldn't be more fucking applicable. If I turn into another dig me up from under what's been covering me, what's been covering the better part of me, and remind me how I used to fucking be. Remind me of Keith McNally that I was proud of. Let this happen again. There's no reason for me to be this fucking downbeat. I am not this downbeat. This reminds me of when I was in the seventh grade. Well, let's go back a little bit. In elementary school, I went to French immersion, where they teach you French. And I was in the same class for 6 years, the same group of kids, and I got along with everybody. I had no problems. I never learned how to deal with people that didn't like me because everybody liked me. So I got to junior high in 7th grade, and there were these kids that decided to pick on me. Because they didn't know me, you know? All of my old friends were in different classes. We got spread around. I was the only one from my French school. All these new boys, and they picked on me. And it probably wasn't as bad as I thought it was, because I got an email from the worst one of them just this year. Because I mentioned something about him on the Keith and the Girl forums. Like, this guy. And if I can meet him again, I'd punch him in the mouth. And he's like a fucking teacher's assistant now. And he was like, really? Like, I can't believe that I was that bad. I didn't think I was that bad. So on the one hand, it's like, yeah, well, probably everybody doesn't think they're that bad. Fuck them. But on the other hand, I probably did take it way too hard. Because I really held on to that for a long time. Apparently enough to mention it on the fucking internet so that he could track me down. But he apologized and whatever. But I remember back then, I just remember my whole... I got so depressed about being picked on that my life just seemed gray. You know, I wasn't making jokes anymore. I wasn't being clever. I wasn't speaking out. I wasn't saying anything. I was just this quiet, sad boy. But it wasn't just my future that seemed gray or my present. My past, too. It's like I forgot how happy I used to be. I forgot how much I used to enjoy things. And when I snapped out of it, even just as a seventh grade kid, it was shocking to me, the realization that... that, like, when you get depressed, it kills everything. It doesn't just kill what's going on now and what can happen in the future. It even erases the happy times you used to have. It really shocked the shit out of me. And nothing has been that bad since. That was bad times, but New York has been, like, it's a pale comparison. It's like a 10% of that, but it's enough. It's like I'm forgetting the person that I was, the person that I am. And I'm just turning into this big fucking lump. And it's not gonna happen anymore. I'll come back and listen to this same show over and over if I have to. I'll listen to it every fucking week if I have to. But you're not gonna fucking forget this, Keith. You're not gonna let your goddamn life slip away.
Single day, love a single day, love a single day, yeah. Regrets and memories, no remorse, no apologies. No reason for me to despair, no future at all. Ask if I care, got time, I'm on side. 24 hours in my life, can't hang on to what's in my past. Full speed ahead, hard and fast. I can't start over today. Way. Can find a way to erase bad times to make everything okay. Let's start over and live every single day. Every single day. Every single day. Yeah. At the end with each dropping sun, can't erase what has been done. Who cares what happened long ago? I don't want to know. Can't start over today. Way. You find a way to erase bad times to make everything okay. Let's start over and live every single day. Can't face tomorrow with these thoughts of yesterday. I can't escape the lies and make them go away. Wish I had the answers to help me make it through. Can't shake these images no matter what I do. I guess I'll use them to make me a stronger man. I'll use each slipping tortured memory to help me understand. And I will learn from mistakes that everyone makes. Got to find a way. Guess I have to live with them every single day. Every single day. Every single day. Yeah. Every single day.
And that all really ties up nice because... the first significant ham radio I did in New York, did a little short one, but the first real one was called I Think My Life Is Passing Me By. I didn't do one for the first 2 or 3 months because things were going so shitty and I didn't want to talk about it. But that one was where the floodgates opened and I finally just admitted all these problems I was having. And that title is from this Sam Roberts song, Brother Down. And hearing that song again tonight... first off, I didn't know if people would know it. It was a big hit in Canada, but we're in New York now, but everybody seemed to know it. Everybody clapped, everybody freaked out when he started playing it. And I just can't... as much as I just could never get into Sam Roberts in general, I can't possibly overemphasize how fucking great this song is. When I first heard it, it was my friend Matt pointed out to me. The video came on Much Music, and he's like, "Hey, man, listen to this song." We were really into the Misfits at the time, and they're big into Woes. And he's like, "I like this song because it's the first song where they do the whoa, but while actually saying the word whoa." And I was like, "Ha, that's funny." And I really like this song. It really just stuck with me for all those years. One life to live, and you're doing it wrong. I am going to go back to Canada, and things are going to go better than they have been going this past year. The real Keith McNally is coming back. No more of this fucking sad sack shit. No fucking more of this. This is a fucking waste of your life. This is a waste of fucking time. You don't have time for this. You're going to be an old goddamn man soon, and you're not going to look back and just fucking remember all the shit you didn't do. Let's get Canadian on people. Wayne Gretzky. He said you miss 100% of the shots you didn't take. Totally true.
Travis band from just up the road in Montreal. And we can't thank you all enough for being here and making this a really great memory that we can take along with us for the rest of this tour across the United States of America. Thank you. And thanks again to Mother Muller. I'm very proud to share the stage with them every night, so thanks.
New York, I hate you. As a collective group of people, you are a piece of shit. I'm just in fucking McDonald's, grabbing some food. And I can't even get food at McDonald's without people in the line getting all fucking ornery at each other. Oh, I was in the line first, so this line goes there, and they talk like they're fucking Andrew Dice Clay tough guy talk all the fucking time. Fuck you, you pieces of shit. Fuck you. Wait in line like a polite fucking person and get your goddamn McDonald's. I fucking hate you. You're terrible fucking people. Fuck you. Fuck this town. The reason I brought up the Wayne Gretzky quote earlier is Kevin Smith on his podcast, he was talking about Wayne Gretzky a lot. He's been getting big into him lately. And he was talking about how Wayne Gretzky was born in Hamilton, and it's not that far from the border, but thank God that he wasn't born a little further south. Because just the general basic human decency that he has is such a, you know, for lack of a better term, he said, a Canadian quality. And he is fucking right. Fuck you, America. Fuck you. If New York is your greatest achievement, you can go fuck yourselves. I hope you all crash and burn. I've never appreciated home so much since coming here. Fuck you all. Don't be proud of your attitudes. Don't be proud of your tough guy bullshit. Be fucking ashamed, because you people fucking suck.
Or just that they're fucking... It's just maybe that the world is such a horrible fucking place sometimes, and you meet so many shitty people.
Yeah, yeah.
That when you hear stories of, like, simply... Not even fucking, like, superheroes, but decent, just normal people. And he goes, we're driving the game, and Wayne says to me, he goes, Dad, there's this kid on the team who hasn't scored all season, so tonight I think I'm going to help him score. And you're like, oh my God, like, people like that don't exist.
Yeah.
In America, it would be like, you know, Dad, there's this kid on the team who hasn't scored.
We're gonna
what a fucking panty. Yeah. We're going to probably beat him with soap and socks because he's holding us back. It's just such a, like, for lack of a better description, a Canadian sentiment, man. To be like, this dude hasn't scored yet. I've got a lot of points. This dude, just a good fucking guy. I mean, and Brantford, dude, not that far from the American border. This Wayne Gretzky could have just as easily been born in the United States, but thank Christ he wasn't, because being born in Brantford made this kid what he is, I think. You know, he just has... Just
got the
Canada head on his shoulders. He is Canada. You know?
Oh, that made me feel a lot fucking better. Oh, man, it's not like I've been holding back on my opinion about New York, but just to have it fucking definitively stated. As a culture, as a nation, America, fuck you. Fuck you. Canada is your fucking superior in every goddamn way. Economically, I understand that we only have the standard of living we do because we're next to you. Thanks for that. But you're fucking assholes. Fuck you. Almost every stereotype comes from somewhere, and that one definitely comes from somewhere. Everyone knows Canadians are friendlier than Americans. Everyone knows we're nicer. Everyone knows we're better people. Because we fucking are. Fuck you. I fucking... fuck you. I can't wait to get the fuck out of here. I just want to fucking... wish America was just a person. I'd punch them in the goddamn mouth. And then they, in retaliation, would fucking blow me up. But it'd be goddamn worth it. Assuming I could find it, the song I just played was The Canadian Way by Guy Smiley. I don't really know that band that well, but they opened for the Misfits when I saw them. It was really the first real punk show I ever went to, and in some ways still the best one. And it mentions the word Canada. That's good enough for me. All right, now that I got that out of my system, let's reel it back to something way more mellow. This is a song that I've been really into these last couple of days. It's from the new episode of Flight of the Conchords. They've got this song. Basically, the guy is singing about his failed relationships, and there's like a choir of his ex-girlfriends. And it starts off just because kind of like a bad bossa nova song. But after that first verse, once the choir kicks in, it's just beautiful. It really is a beautiful song, even though it's like Flight of the Conchords and it's like a comedy sort of joke song. This is a gorgeous fucking song. And this is also a really good example of how fucked in the head I've been. Where, you know, just feeling this weird maelstrom of emotions and not feeling stable at all. Is that this song is clearly, it's funny. It's funny like all their songs. But man, I was just feeling it. I was really just like getting both sides of the spectrum, especially this part. There's a part toward the end of the song where the girl, the chorus of girls, says he's a man who will, still a boy who's never going to grow up. And he says, I thought I told you to shut the up. You know, clearly funny. But man, that line was really hitting me, like legitimately, like, you know, stabbing me in the chest. Anyway, this is... wait through that first verse, and then this is... It is a beautiful song. I really fucking like this song. And this is as recently as 2 hours ago or whenever, right before I went to the show, I was listening to this song on the way here. And that's how it was affecting me, where it's like making me smile but making me feel bad at the same time. Ooh, and I don't know how long this is going to last. I mean, clearly, we all know I'm in a backslide. I'll be fucking feeling mopey before too long and probably do another show about it. But for now, right now, while I'm in this head where I don't feel weak anymore, where I feel fucking in control of my future, where I feel like I have faith in myself and my abilities and in what I can accomplish in my life, it's just a good fucking feeling for one thing. And now it's nice that I can listen to a song like this and just like think like, wow, that is so weird. That is so weird that it affected me like that. That I was that whacked in the head.
I kind of like you.
I kind of like you too.
Loretta broke my heart in a letter. She told me she was leaving and her life would be better. Joe broke it off over the phone. After the tone, she left me alone. Jen said she'd never ever see me again. When I saw her again, she said it again. Jen met another man. Lisa got amnesia, just forgot who I am. Felicity
so there was no electricity. Emily, no chemistry. Fran, Rand, Bruce turned out to be a man. Flo had to go, I couldn't go with the flow. Carol Brown just took a bus out of town. But I'm hoping that you'll stick around.
He doesn't cook or clean, he's a good boy from material.
Ooh, we can eat cereal.
You lose interest fast, his relationships never last.
Shut up, girlfriends from the past.
He says he'll do one thing, and then he goes and does another thing.
Whoa, you organized all of my ex-girlfriends into a choir and got them to sing. Shut up. Shut up, girlfriends from the past. Mimi will no longer see me. Brittany hit me. Paula, Persephone, Stella, and Stephanie. There must be 50 ways that lovers have left me. Carol Brown just took a bus out of town. Love is a delicate thing, it could just flow away on the breeze.
He says the same thing to me.
How can we ever know if I'm the right person in this world?
He means he looks at other girls.
Love is a mystery, it does not follow a rule.
This guy is a fool, he'll always be a boy. He's a man
who never grew up. I thought I told you to shut up. You told me you were in a coma. Tiffany, you said that you had an epiphany. Would you like a little cereal? Who organized this choir of its girlfriends? Was it you, Carol Brown? Was it you, Carol Brown? Carol Brown just took a bus. But I'm hoping that you'll stick around. Stick around. Stick around.
I've been listening to a shitload of Faith No More lately. The first album I ever bought was the Faith No More is the Real Thing. I found just like a fucking mega post of like Mike Patton shit the other day, and tons of Faith No More cover tribute albums and stuff. And it reminded me how much, when that band was fucking good, they were really fucking good. This is a song from their third album with Mike Patton, their fifth one overall. It's called King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime. And the very first song is called Get Out. And Mike Patton's got a bunch of these songs that he wrote, especially toward the end of Faith No More. Just these really simple, straightforward songs. And I just always really liked this one. I remember it's got these lyrics like, I don't speak that language anymore. My blood is not that color anymore. When I was a teenager, that seemed fucking significant as shit. Like, fuck yeah, man. I don't even speak that language anymore. My blood is not even that color anymore. And I have no fucking idea what that was in reference to back then. But it kind of seems appropriate again now. Now that I feel like I'm turning a corner. Now that I feel like I'm fucking getting my head back on straight. Seems appropriate again. So here's Get Out by Faith No More.
Get out right now!
So right now, I am walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. This is something I meant to do for ages. It's nighttime now. It's like midnight, 12:30. And I am wicked afraid of heights. Like, really, really scared of heights. I remember even walking across, like, the Burrard Bridge in Vancouver. Could kind of freak me out. I certainly couldn't look over the side. Wasn't so bad as long as I kept my, like, eyes forward and just imagined that I was just on a street and not out over the water. Although water is better, because if you fall off, I mean, you're probably not going to die. You might just get really hurt. But I don't think that's going to be a problem at all on this bridge. There's a big walking lane right down the middle of it that's, like, two lanes. It's, like, the size of a normal street. And then shitloads of lanes on either side. We'll see as I get out over the water. But right now, it's all good. And I'm pretty sure on the other side of this, I can catch the JMZ. This is the bridge it goes across, right? I'm almost sure of it. One of my actually strongest memories of this fucking bridge is getting killed by the cops on this bridge in Grand Theft Auto 4. Or jumping off of it and then swimming over to the Domino Sugar building. It's really cool to see the parts in that game that are like real New York. I had something fucked up in my head where it almost feels more significant to me to get to these places in the game than in real life. I could give two fucks about the Domino Sugar building in real life, but to find it in the game, just to swim toward it at night, is just cool. Or the Unisphere is by my house, but finding it in Grand Theft Auto is like, fuck yeah, the Unisphere. It's a shame I'm gonna miss virtual reality, because I'd probably take to that shit like a fucking fish to water. Although maybe not, because I got no time for all that EverQuest type fucking shit. Anyway, I'm pretty sure I can catch the JMZ on the other side of this and head on home. But I just couldn't bring myself to go down onto the F train. Or even the JMZ yet. I gotta be outside a little longer. These fucking scumhole shit fucking subways in New York. They are the fucking filthiest, most disgusting, no fucking excuse for this shit. There's just no excuse. See, this is where people think. Well, like Ian, for instance. Ian had no idea how much I was holding back. No fucking idea. How much, I mean, maybe it's that's the problem. Maybe it's that I just let all my complaints just fucking come out in a continuous dribble. Maybe I should have just, but I don't know, if I just got it out of my system like this, I would have went the fuck home. Fuck you, New York. But yeah, just no fucking idea how much I'm holding back my fucking distaste. My fucking rejection of this shit fucking city. Fuck you, New York. Fuck you. Worst fucking place I've ever lived. All right, let's play another song, shall we? There's a song on Brad Zuck's second album called There's Something Wrong. That I actually never cared for that much. It was a little bit dreary, a little bit of a drag. But he's got a demo. There's two demos of it on his webpage. And one of the demos has, like, higher-pitched vocals. you know, vocals where he's really belting it out more. It kind of reminds me of that Beatles song Help, how John Lennon said he kind of wished he had done it in a slower, more somber manner. But I really like how it's like a kind of upbeat pop song that's about problems. That's how this demo of There's Something Wrong seems to me. I mean, it's about how there's something fucked up in his head, there's something wrong with his life. But he's singing it in a happier manner. And I really like this version, like a lot better than the one that's on his finest, his finished album. So let's listen to that while I walk across the bridge. I am still walking over streets, although we're very high up, enough so that if I do look out at these streets around us, ooh, this is actually quite freaky. This is pretty high up. Ah, maybe I should just look forward, do my old trick, just look forward, pretend I'm not even on a bridge. All right, wish me luck. You know, I'm sure that song is about a girl, but I am officially dedicating that song to New York. I've been feeling down lately, ever since I met you, baby. You turned me into an emo fucking bitch, you shit city. Go fuck yourself. Hey, by the way, work on your fucking graffiti, you stupid shits. Your faggy fucking tag everywhere is not impressive to anybody. You don't need to fucking ruin everything, every goddamn storefront, every fucking everything with your stupid fucking tag. It's not impressive. Fuck you. You want to do graffiti? Do good graffiti. Do a fucking picture. Paint some goddamn art, you fucking idiots. Don't just fucking wreck everything for no fucking reason. You pieces of fucking shit. Did you ever hear of the concept of communal ownership? How in Canada, just because it's not technically your property, just because it's a street or a sidewalk somewhere, you don't just treat it like shit. You don't litter everywhere. You don't fucking put your fucking retarded spray paint everywhere. You take care of that shit because it makes your life better if everything is not a goddamn mess. How fucking stupid are you? Don't fucking shit where you eat, you dumb fucking idiots. So I'm glad to say now that I'm out over the water, it's not scary at all. When I was over the streets, that was a little frightening. But over the water, this feels fine. You know, I don't know why I'm scared of heights. I mean, it's not like I'm gonna fall off. But if somebody somehow did just, I don't know, grab me by the ankles and swing me around and toss me off this bridge, I'd be fine. I can swim this. Be really fucking cold, but whatever. I feel a lot better. I've just been listening to miscellaneous songs that I'm not going to play on the show, but just singing along because there's nobody here. This is nice being on the Brooklyn Bridge this late, and it splits in half. So all the bicycle people go on the left and all the walkers go on the right. And I can just fucking sing away. That's kind of nice. And then yell at New York because they're fucking children. Let's find another song. You know, part of what made me so disappointed in this city is that as soon as I got here, I knew shit was wrong. When I got to Vancouver, for instance, I didn't know what to expect. Big city, I expected, like, movie shit, music video shit, Welcome to the Jungle shit, which is what New York actually is. I didn't know anything about big cities, so I just assumed Vancouver would be the same. I got there, and I was immediately shocked and impressed. It's not like that at all. There is the downtown east side, which is awful, but that's a normal fucking block in fucking, like, the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Nobody would blink if you walked past that shit in Manhattan, whereas it's an enormous fucked-up blight in Vancouver because it's fucked up. It's not how your fucking life is supposed to be. New York. And that's part of what made me so fucking mad living here, is the emperor has got no fucking clothes on. And I try to tell that to people, and people just fucking defend this shithole. They fucking defend it all the fucking time. Like, I am fucking crazy. Like, what I'm fucking seeing isn't real. Fuck you. Fuck you. Would it have goddamn killed you fucking people to fucking be on my side, to acknowledge what the fuck is going on around here? Would that fucking kill you? Would that be so fucking hard to help me not feel like I'm going fucking crazy because I'm the only one who thinks this place is a giant fucking piece of shit? Meet me fucking halfway. I am fucking worked up today. Let's play a nice Canadian song by a Canadian band where people have a fucking head on their shoulders that works. This is a band called Moist I've been playing lately. Played it a bunch on my last show, and it got me listening to them again. And it reminded me of this song called Resurrection from their second album that's really fucking good. Pretty standard 4/4 fucking alt-rock shit, but I like it a lot. Hey, here I am getting toward the end of the bridge. There's a bunch of graffiti. Is it good? No, it's fucking shitty. It's fucking god-awful. The only thing that's worse than this graffiti shit is when you go into one of these goddamn fucking, like, art places. What do you fucking call them? Art exhibit things. Where they have their little fucking studio. And their shitty fucking stupid waste of time art. How the fuck do you afford a goddamn studio in New York, for one thing? And where else in the world would people be dumb enough to actually think that what you're doing is important? Where else could you ever possibly sell this fucking horse shit? Where else could you make a career out of this? Where else could you be famous for your fucking bullshit? Only in New York. Enjoy it, cocksuckers. Hold on. That Moist song, that's just not... It's not fucking angry enough. That's not gonna cut it. We gotta work our way into that one. So let's start off with some fucking Slipknot. Everything ends.
You are wrong, fucked, and overrated. I think I'm gonna be sick and it's your fault. This is the end of everything. You are the end of everything. I haven't slept since I woke up and found my whole life was a lie, motherfucker. This is the end of everything. You are the end of everything!
Doing? Is there anyone left in my life? What the fuck would I think of? Anybody wanna tell? again. And despite what I might say, there's a pleasure by the pain, there's a pleasure by the twisting of the metal in the vein. And it might be very hard, can't be more than what we are, can't be more till it's over.
Let's reel it back down a little more, because I am fucking worked up. I'm starting to make myself feel weird. Too much yelling. So like I said, I'm listening to a lot of Faith No More stuff, tons of covers and things. And it's hard to find a good cover of anything. Faith No More is no different. But this one song that stood out, I think it's because I don't really know the original song that well. It's an old song called Blood. Back when Chuck Mosley was their singer. And this cover is really weird and different. Almost, I don't know, a little bit country-ish sounding. But I like it. And even though Chuck Mosley was a real shitty singer compared to Mike Patton, I do think he seemed like he put a lot more work into the lyrics. Mike Patton has admitted plenty of times that people shouldn't try to analyze his lyrics, because he's mostly just going for the words that sound good. He's more about the sounds. I mean, in his later bands, a lot of times they're not even lyrics. It's just fucking noises. Just weird noises. But yeah, this one is weird, because it would be hard to even recognize this as that old Faith No More song. It's just a cool, weird, different version, and I like it. This is Blood. Tree.
Yeah, it was never really cool. It really don't matter if you just went away. Oh, it really
So I made it to the other side of the bridge. Now I'm waiting for the JMZ to get here. This is a train I've rode many times. Because this is how I got to Ian's house. Fairly bittersweet, isn't it? Huh? Do you remember all those times you and Ian hopped on this train, went into town, did stuff, came back home? Huh? Pretty bittersweet, isn't it? Little emo faggot Keith. Huh? You remember that? You feel sad? Oh, you have good feelings. You have bad feelings. Go fuck yourself. I'm leaving your fucking corpse in New York. That was the second song, Faith No More song, that I played. That was Faster Disco by Chuck Mosley, the old Faith No More singer. After I got the real thing, I went back and tracked down that album. And I didn't like it at all. I didn't know they had a different singer. Back then, when I was younger, I didn't have any song that I didn't like completely, any singer I didn't like completely. I just had no time at all, no tolerance. Things have changed now. I've got a lot more, a lot wider musical breadth. But eventually, I really came to like that old Faith No More album. And in his own way, I really like Chuck Mosley and his weird, shitty singing. But now let's jump back to the Patton era. So The Real Thing is the first album I ever bought. I bought it on cassette. And I remember listening to it like crazy. I liked every song. And I especially liked this song called Underwater Love. I remember being on a family trip to Florida when I think I was in the 7th grade. That year that everything was really just fucked up and shitty. And I wasn't getting along with people. And I remember being in this one hotel, listening to my little Walkman at night after everybody else was asleep, because I had so many sleep problems even back then. And I remember listening to this song, Underwater Love, and just, man, just being lost in it. This, to me, it really is like an ode to narcissism. It's a guy looking into his reflection in some water and just being in love with himself. Obviously, to grasp on in that way, to have that kind of weird narcissism, was because I was feeling very weak. Weak in the ego back then. I needed to hold on to something, and that's what I had. That was my only way to keep some sense of self-worth, was to inflate my own self-concept, to really have this, like, I always think of it as like as if I was part of some aristocracy, that I'm just better than other people. But not for any particular reason, just by some weird birthright. I just happened to be. And yeah, this song was powerfully significant to me when I was a young man. And I would just feel this weird, like, ache. This ache in my heart for this beautiful version of myself that I didn't... that I knew I didn't quite really have, but that I was kind of spinning up in my brain. So what brought this into my head is, with all this Faith No More I've been listening to lately, part of it was finding old demos. And I just found the other day 4 demos that were like the very first things Mike Patton did with Faith No More. He had some instrumentals and he recorded some vocals over them in Billy Gould's attic. And as the story goes, apparently this tape was found in a thrift store in L.A. It was like this box full of old tapes, and it had tons of record label shit, demos and stuff. There was a copy of one of the old Mr. Bungle demos in there, too. But apparently this tape is, like, super, super rare. And somebody just found it in this thrift store and sold it on eBay, and then somebody ripped it, and now you can download the torrent. And that's just such a weird, crazy story. I love the internet. I love that all this stuff is just available now. If you do find a gem like that, they say there's only 2 copies of this tape. I don't know where that information comes from, but it's like as soon as someone finds one, even if it is 20 years later, because it is the 20th anniversary of The Real Thing coming up. That's fucking scary to think about. 20 fucking years, 20th anniversary. But they put that shit online. But I'm going to save that demo till the very end of the show because it really sounds like shit and probably no one's into it. You would have to be a pretty hardcore Faith No More head to really give a shit about this. But I think it's interesting because it's got different lyrics that change the tone of the song a lot. It's not an ode to narcissism anymore. But right now, I'm just going to play the studio version. So this is Underwater Love by Faith No More. My seventh grade favorite. So, time lapse. I'm finally back home. It's like an hour and a half later. It was a long fucking ride. And there is absolutely nothing on this MP3 player that I want to play to finish off the show. Since my other MP3 player broke, I'm stuck with my previous cheap piece of shit. It's like this $40 one I got at a Walmart in Burnaby. And basically, it takes SD cards, but all the stuff that's loaded onto the main MP3 player is not changing. I can't get in there to access it. So it's all shit that I was listening to 6 months ago. So none of it is doing it for me. So when I get home, I'll dig through my stuff. I'll find a nice song to finish things off. I'm thinking maybe something more in a mellow vein, because I'm feeling much better. I got a lot of stuff off of my chest. And then after that, I'll play the Faith No More demo of Underwater Love, just to wrap things up. So, to recap, fuck you, New York. And I feel way, way better. I gotta do shit like that more often.
Spend the days daydreaming and finding clues. My whole life I've been here at the train station shining shoes. I started when I was 9 on my own and taught myself. No complaints, I'm doing pretty good and I got my health. Memories and calluses, my hearing's probably next to go. Sometimes I do a little handiwork for extra dough, but mostly this here is how I spend my time. And I've perfected a technique I call the dry shine. Some guys use lots of water on the shoe, but then when it's out in the open air, the shine is gone in 10 minutes. That whole approach to the job is dumb. In fact, dollars to donuts, that customer won't be coming back. This is the most common mistake of the amateurs, going for big numbers to satisfy their managers. Anyway, the dry shine, the first thing I mean to do in this part is very important. I clean the shoe, the residue, and low polish to keep the shoe from being ruined. All you need to do is use a rag with some cleaning fluid. If the shoe's all caked up with gunk, you need to think. The shoe can't breathe, and that's what causes the feet to stink. They took Carboin off the market, I believe it was a few years ago, cause that leather couldn't breathe. And once you've cleaned the shoe and it's dried, your base coat of polish can now be applied. Then you brush, cause what that tends to do is clean the shoe a little more and gets rid of the residue. And then you do the second coat, just like the first one. You brush it, you rag it, voila, your work's done and that's it. You treat each shoe like it's special, care about your work and be a professional. There's a right way to go about the job and the wrong one. I find this way is much better in the long run. It ain't about the dollar, I'm trying to go fast. Unless you take pride in what you're doing, you won't last. Craftsmanship is a quality that some lack. You gotta give people a reason for them to come back. It ain't about the dollar, I'm trying to go fast. Unless you take pride in what you're doing, you won't last. Craftsmanship is a quality that some lack. You gotta give people a reason for them to come back. When I was introduced to, they don't wear shinable shoes like they used to. Casual clothes in the office, what is this? The villain in sneakers is killing my business.
Gentle grace.